Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember. Yeah,
you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know.
I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Hello and welcome to the Abroad in Japan podcast, probably the best way of learning about life in Japan without actually being in Japan. I'm your host, Chris Broad, and we're joined, as always, by England's top Japan enthusiast, Mr. Pete Donaldson. Pete, how are you doing?
I'm the JPE, as you can see, and I'm enthusiastic about... coolish.
See, I thought you were going to rhyme there.
Off the top of my dome, mate. Well, beef, shabu shabu. The whole nine yards, mate. I'm big into the beef, baby. Actually, I've eaten much less beef this year. I've decided this year that I'm going to eat only quality beef, so that reduces the amount of beef I'm going to eat, and I'm going to eat only decent quality meats. And if it's crap meat, not interested, mate. And that
you know
that
what?
I'll save the planet.
I'm actually the same. I've actually cut back on my meat consumption in general, like. I think it's because whenever I eat beef these days, and everyone knows that I love beef, and I cover beef and Wagyu beef every other weekend, but whenever I eat it now, I do feel like, I shouldn't have had that. I think I'm becoming worryingly health conscious, although saying that, I did eat 4 pieces of fried chicken today, and that's all I've eaten today. Yeah. But I think there's something about chicken that's better than beef, health-wise, although, again, it was battered in a sea of salt and batter, so, maybe not.
Well, I just think with beef, it's very variable. I think you can have terrible beef, you can have excellent beef, and more often than not, you have terrible beef. So unless you're going to eat the best, I don't think you should bother personally. Because and
I felt
also
like that was aimed at me.
No,
I felt like you went more often than not. You have terrible beef, as if I am the purveyor of bad quality beef.
No, you've only given me good beef. That's the thing. If I was hanging around you all the days of the month, I'd be smashing back beef every day, but we just don't have decent beef over here. So you know,
I think it's only for a price.
I think in England there's only like 6 places, maybe in the UK, that has A5 Wagyu. So there you go. It's really hard to transport.
Yeah, I remember a few years ago, there was a point where everyone was messaging me being like, I'd get like photos from people in London being like, is this A5 Wagyu, Chris? Is this A5 Wagyu beef? And I have to be like, no.
Was it £30?
Japan doesn't export
no.
it. But yeah, and it's like £5 Wagyu beef burger.
Yeah.
Now you can actually get Wagyu in London for like £1 million.
Oh, it's like...
But it's too expensive to warrant trying.
There's a place in the Ham Yard. If you ever want it, it's expensive. There's a £60 taster menu in Inagawa in Ham Yard.
I recommended that place to you, didn't I? Didn't I recommend that to you?
Yeah, no, I think you Sakana Tei, you recommended to me, which I went to. The man was very surly. Very Japanese and very surly. But it was very nice.
I do like Engawa, though. But enough of beef. This isn't a beef-based podcast.
This is a podcast
about abroad in Japan and coronavirus, which seems to be the thing. I'm part of me is sick to death of coronavirus.
Mm.
Part of me feels like it's such a weird ongoing situation that it has to be covered. And for those, you know, I've had so many messages and comments and questions from you guys around the world about coronavirus. Obviously, if you're coming to Japan, it is a source of great terror, and you want to know if you are going to get quarantined, if you are going to be able to escape Japan. For that reason, I did cover it as a video. I was originally just going to keep it as a podcast thing, given it's an ongoing contemporary issue where things change so fast, it feels almost worthless to cover it in a kind of a one-off video. But last Friday, I was at my local supermarket going to buy various healthy foods and fried chicken. And then, as I got to the front door, literally everybody was clutching like two big multi-packs of toilet roll. And that's a scary thing to see. It's a very scary thing to see. And I went in and the toilet roll section had like one large pack of toilet rolls left. And I didn't know why there was no toilet roll. I didn't know what was going on. But I snatched up a piece because I thought, oh my God, what if it's the end of the world and there's no toilet roll? And on a list of the top three things you don't want to run out of, let's face it, toilet roll is a number two, pun intended. And I snapped it up. And then I turned on the TV and found out that in Japan, there's a panic buying situation at the moment. Even now, several days after, I think this is, 5 days since that terrifying moment in the supermarket. And people are still panic buying toilet paper and toilet roll. I don't know why.
Yeah.
Because basically, it was said that as a result of the coronavirus, Chinese factories have shut down, which they have. And they said that because Chinese factories have shut down, there's no toilet roll coming over to Japan anymore.
Yeah.
And then it was pointed out that all of Japan's toilet roll is made in Japan. In fact, we've covered it in this podcast a few months back, didn't we? We did an episode on the world's most expensive toilet roll made in Japan. And unfounded fears, unfounded panic. But even though the Toilet Roll Confederation, which is a thing,
an actual confederation,
came on TV and basically said, don't stop panic buying toilet roll. There's plenty. Look at this warehouse. There's like a million tons of toilet roll. Didn't stop. People are still buying it. And it's deeply frustrating because you feel like if you feel like you've got to do it as well. You feel like you've got to kind of.
Yeah, because then you need toilet roll because you might just need toilet roll. And if there's no toilet roll, you're going to have to move on to the Asahi Shinbuns of the world. it's weird that everyone's getting crazy about toilet roll. You've got those fancy toilets that squirt water up your bum. That's how a lot of the world wash their bums. Like, you know, a lot of people across the middle of the world, if we're going to count Japan as the East and the UK and the US as the West, a lot of people don't even use toilet paper. So, you know, it's just water, isn't it? So you guys have already got yourself covered with the old squirty birties up your bum-bums.
It's ridiculous. And then, that was my motivation for making the video. And I put the video up and it got, I think, got 500,000 views in the first day, which is bonkers. It's one of my best performing videos in months. And it just gives you a sense of scale and a sense of how interested people are in the coronavirus and how interested they are in the ongoing kind of situation. So
I think
just whatever you're doing, talk about the coronavirus.
I think everybody, even if they are as level-headed, I like to think I'm quite level-headed about things and how, you know, the flu kills people and we had swine flu, we had foot and mouth, we had like so many crises over the years. I mean, this one is a lot more visceral because there's a lot more social media around and people are going crazy and a lot of our parents and grandparents are talking about it being a chemical warfare threat, biological weapon, you know, because they've seen it on their weird dad and mum WhatsApp channels and Facebook groups. It's demented it really is. But even I, last night, I was feeling a bit, you know, down in the weather, you know, I just didn't feel great. And I was like, oh,
well,
no.
Well, you live in the middle of London in Soho.
I live in Chinatown, mate. I live in Chinatown,
you are, yeah.
So...
And exactly. I live the in one Chinatown. Place it's definitely going
to
be.
I came back from Japan. I'm on the tube every day. My mate came back from Northern Italy, and I gave him a hug and a kiss at the weekend. Mate, I am a walking super spreader. But no, I was feeling a bit like, oh dear. But look, just relax, everyone. Okay, like there are so many events getting cancelled. Serie A has been suspended. All of the Japanese football teams aren't playing, and pretty much every kind of like public assembly things. All of the wrestling
Disneyland,
in Japan,
Universal
Disneyland,
Studios,
yeah. So a lot
all
of the wrestlers
museums in Japan,
yeah.
All of art museums in Tokyo.
I've got a mate who looks after a couple of Japanese wrestlers, and they're a lot more available for press at the moment because they've got no wrestling to do.
Oh, God. Yeah, it's a climate of fear. I think, you know, I switch on, like I read the Guardian newspaper, of course I do. I put that on, and the whole front page is like flashing red lights and 25 articles about death and despair.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, it's hard not to wake up, read that, and go, oh, my God, we're done for. This is it.
It's click.
Better get some more toilet roll.
But the clicks do count, and you've got to remember that part of things. If you put a story about coronavirus every hour up, your SEO is going to be at the top of the tree when it comes to Google. So it's the same way that when they think a actor or a famous person or a royal is on their last legs, they insist on putting loads of stories up about just random facts about that person. It's really?
Really
weird. Yeah, so if there was rumours that I think Peter Kay wasn't very well, a stand-up a comedian in Britain.
Yeah, yeah.
Wasn't very well, or maybe his wife wasn't very well, but it wasn't really clear because he's a very private man what was going on. And over like, it was a certain week where there was a lot of rumours sort of circling, certainly in the media, that he was either in dire straits or whatever. But loads of newspapers, loads of the worst tabloids started seeding stories just about how much is Peter Kay worth? How much is his TV programme worth? Like loads and loads of pieces, just gaming the SEO on Google so that it'd be top of the tree. It is, I'm going to say not God's work, let's say. It's fucking dreadful. It's dreadful behaviour.
It is. I mean, coronavirus... As we talked about, it's brought out the worst in people in terms of fear. Like we had the ramen shop owner who banned all foreigners, which was the stupidest thing I've ever heard of.
In Germany, there was a football club that ejected 20 Japanese football fans because of coronavirus. Awful. And now they're saying sorry. That sort of behaviour.
So.
I think they should be kicked out of the league, quite frankly.
But it's also, it's brought the worst out in the media as well. People are jumping on it. I mean, that was another reason I wanted to hold off. I didn't want to be seen as exploiting the coronavirus. But it's important to point out that YouTube actually banned the monetization of coronavirus videos. There are a lot of conspiracy theorists and a lot of people who are just putting out videos every 10 minutes and trying to cash in on it.
Yeah.
And so, to some extent, I do actually agree that YouTube should probably demonetize it because people will exploit that.
Mm.
Although, I thought my one was all right. I thought, come on, let's monetize abroad in Japan. Let's do it.
Mm.
And I requested a manual review. So someone in a room, probably in California, had to sit there with their coffee and go, oh, God, what's this rubbish? And watch through the first few minutes and then assess if it was worthy or not of money.
Did you get
and they decided it wasn't.
Oh.
And they were like, no. So I got stuffed. But I don't regret doing it. It's an important topic. A lot of my viewers... asked about it, a lot of you guys asked about it, and I feel like I'm glad to have covered it, and I might cover it again in a month when we know what the situation is a bit clearer. And especially, you know, one of the main things I talked about is the Olympics are at risk, and that's terrible. I think that could be a disaster if Japan has to cancel the Olympics. Billions are planning, the whole country's been so excited and enthusiastic about the Olympics, and the idea that it's going to be ripped away after 7-8 years of anticipation is heartbreaking and really worrying. And, you know, Japan is very good at overcoming all the horrible stuff that's thrown at it. Volcanoes, earthquakes, tsunamis, nuclear disasters, typhoons. But I think that would be a cut above. I think that would be a devastating situation for the whole country.
Maybe. I think I was chatting to a Olympic gymnast, Courtney Tullock, who's part of the British gymnast team yesterday. Lovely chap. And he was sort of saying, look, we don't know what's going to be happening. It might happen, it might not. I mean, there's a big variable in the fact that the Russians can't compete under their own flag because of their transgressions in the past, let's say. So, but us, like my mate sort of said, aren't you like in a situation where, as a sportsman, like any marginal gain is good? So if you're sort of thinking that the Olympics aren't going to happen, are you kind of like going to pull back a little bit on your training, just mentally?
Oh, that's
just
an interesting point, yeah.
And he said, nah, that's just not how we're built. We just get on with it, and if it happens, it happens.
Damn right.
We just do it. But and a lot of people, a lot of agencies are suggesting that the Japanese aren't necessarily testing as many people as they should do, certainly not as many people in Korea. I think I saw in a video recently that the Koreans are testing anyone who wants to be tested. The Japanese,
that's right,
you have to have a fever for a couple of days, etc., which is incredibly dangerous, to be quite frank. But and they're sort of saying that that's political because they don't want the Olympics to be cancelled, etc. I mean, the football Euros are at risk as well. Obviously, the Euros, for the first time ever, are set right across Europe from Russia everywhere westward. So you don't want lots of people just going all around Europe. It's the first time they've done this, and it's probably the worst time they've done this. At least everyone in one place, they could kind of deal with it in one place, or just choose the place that's got, you know, not as much infection.
Absolutely.
I don't know. Difficult.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised with that. Because if you look at the figures coming out of Korea, it's, you know, I think it's 5,000 cases, or I think it might be more than that. I know there's a lot of cases, and Japan is far less, but there's a lot less testing going on.
Yeah, I think it works. I think it works out.
And you can see why there would be that incentive, given the fact that they've spent like $50 billion on the Olympics,
yeah,
and they don't want that cancelled. So yeah,
when you look at I think if you look at like Korea and Iran, contrast those two kind of situations. Iran don't test anyone, so their death figures are really, really high because they haven't tested anyone. So like, so if you have a lot of people who have been tested, like in Korea, like loads and loads and loads of people, your death rate is going to be very low because you've found out that so many more people have got the virus. But in Iran, where they're testing nobody, if you know that only, say, 100 people have got it and, you know, 10 of those die because they're showing incredibly high symptoms when they get tested, your death rate is going to be really, really high. So I imagine the Japanese would be looking at something like that. If they're testing fewer people, their death rate's just going to be higher statistically. So I don't know. It's interesting. It's horrible, but it's interesting.
You're right. I mean, I hate to admit it, but I've found it very interesting kind of uncovering all the economic and socioeconomic and kind of just all the different things that happen as a result of something like this occurring. You know, I remember in the video last Saturday, which I filmed in a day after Friday night and the toilet roll debacle, I was like, okay, I'm going to do this tomorrow. And for those of you wondering where the Sapporo Snow Festival video is, which was supposed to come out on Saturday, that got shelved for another week or so until I covered that. And I basically woke up at like 9 o'clock. I scripted it from 9 till 1. I then filmed it from 1 till 4 and edited it from like 5 till 1 in the morning, posted it at 3 a.m. It was a really brutal day, but I really wanted it up. And there's so many weird things happening. Like there was a Vincent van Gogh's infamous Sunflowers painting, which is currently on loan from the National Gallery, I think, in London. It's never left Europe before. It's come to Japan, and it's in quarantine at the moment first time leaving Europe, and there it is, like in a box somewhere in Tokyo in quarantine, because all the galleries are shut across the country. Yeah. But there was a story. I think the worst thing is if you see videos of people fighting or whatnot. And there was a story of an angry confrontation breaking out on a Yamanote line train in Tokyo, the most popular train line around Tokyo.
Circle line, isn't it?
Basically, there's some guy just coughing, and then this old man just sort of went over and had a massive go at him and threatened him for coughing. And I suppose you can look at it both ways, right? This guy coughed without a mask on. He coughed, I think, without covering his mouth, and that annoyed this passenger. And I was on a train just this morning, and I felt like going, to clear my throat. Mm. But I held it back. I was like, oh, I'm going to have to just not do that because I didn't want everyone looking around at me. And there was one guy coughing near me. Mm. And every time he went, like everyone just went.
Well, I get terrifying. Very, whenever I get on a flight, I don't know whether it's the pressure and the constriction of the old nasal passages, but I get really like bunged up. Like I get really kind of, and I'm always sniffing because it's just right. It's just actually quite painful and horrible. And I think it's just the dust because obviously it's really hard to dust in a plane, and yeah, all that. It just seems like. I just get really sniffly, and I always get very. When I was on my way back from Japan, or when I was on the way out to Japan, I was a bit like, "Oh dear, people are going to think I'm incredibly unwell."
It's true. It could have been you that brought coronavirus to the UK.
Could have been me.
Given that for most people, I think 80% of symptom, 80% of people, sorry, or carriers have mild symptoms that are just like a small cough or a sniffle.
Well,
which is kind of worrying. It could have been you.
Could have been
In
me.
Fact, it's definitely you.
Yeah. All right, blame me.
Pete Dawson did it. Get some free publicity for the podcast. half of the podcast is responsible for the coronavirus. Probably not a good claim to have.
Stick that on the website.
Yeah, maybe not. yeah, that aside, it's been a good week for me, though, in some ways. I actually released the Abroad Japan website, finally, after a million years, which is 3 months, of development, and I'm so happy. So basically, I've been wanting a website for years now, and I wanted a website that could actually be useful and interesting. So the one thing I really wanted was a trip idea generator, where you can go on and just look for ideas, hit a button, and like you just get 5 or 10 ideas for your trip. So we've got all sorts. We've got a trip idea generator with 250 ideas for your trip. There's a Japan guide map with 150 locations to explore, where you can click on a place and watch a video about it, which is something I always wanted to do.
Really,
and best
good.
Of all, of course, there's a soundboard with all your favourite Natsuki quotes and Ryotaro quotes. And soon, next week, Pete Donaldson quotes.
Oh.
Heaven knows there aren't enough. There's a ton of Pete Donaldson quotes just waiting to be on it. But have you checked out the site at all, Pete?
I've checked out the site. I was very impressed by there's a map where you can just literally... there's a map of Japan and just kind of like scroll around. But it's in this beautiful kind of recessed... kind of perspective and you can kind of fly around Japan finding videos where Chris has been doing different things in different areas. It's a beautiful construction. Can we name check the co-creator Ian?
We can, yeah. So the web developer is Ian from Journey Across Japan. He might have seen, he's the guy that drove the team around and helped every, I mean, without Ian there would have been no Journey Across Japan. And
no.
Similarly, Ian is the brains behind this website. I worked very closely with him. He did the website. I did the content. And, yeah, it's worked out really well. And I'm really proud
Beautiful.
Of it. And so if you want to check it out, it is just abroadinjapan.com. Pretty simple. Pretty original. But I'm really proud of it. And, yeah, the map, just it's weird, you know, going on the map and seeing...
All the videos you've done.
This map of Japan. Yeah, with all the 150 videos on it, or whatever.
Cause you sort
it's
of
kind
think
of like,
that,
wow.
Because you sort of think that you've done, like, you know, seeing like, the list of videos on YouTube, actually seeing them on the map is actually quite, it's a bit more satisfying, I would say. Because, like, you can go, oh,
it
right,
really
I'm
is,
down
yeah.
I'm down in this part of Japan, I want something. And also the idea, the trip idea generator, you know, if you want a spooky adventure, there's a couple of videos about that. If you want this, there's a podcast about that. It's great, but I like the fact that Spooky Adventure is one of the first entries. Like, that's the first thing you're going to do. I want a spooky adventure.
Well, I thought, what would Pete click on? And yeah. I thought that was probably the first
exactly
one.
What I clicked on.
Absolutely. But, you know, we've got 200 podcasts now. We've got 200 videos on Abroad in Japan. It felt like good to kind of bring them all together. And, you know, in many ways, it's just a filter to find what you want to find, you know. So... You know, check
Smashing.
It out, abroadinjapan.com, very proud of it. Hopefully it'll make your trip better or give you some ideas to make your trip unique. And another thing, of course, is that I picked up a Japan guidebook the other day, and all of Tohoku, North Japan, where I live, has like one paragraph.
Yeah.
And it feels good to really try and put North Japan on the map, and that's what the website has done. So check
Beautiful.
That out. And with
well
that, we now turn to Speedy... Japanese.
Oh, Woo-hoo. It's time for some language learnings.
I feel like when we say it's time for Speedy Japanese, there should be like a button
yeah.
that plays like a music, some song.
Plays like a music.
Maybe just get Natsuki to be like, Speedy Japanese.
yeah, next time you see him, find
that would
it.
Make it better.
And we'll do it.
I come to you this week with two words, two nouns.
Oh.
The first one, unsurprisingly, is toilet paper. Do you know what toilet paper is, Mr. Donaldson?
That's got to be a Guy Rigo borrowed word, surely. Toiletto paper.
Good, yeah.
Yeah.
Toiletto paper.
Nice.
Yeah. Easily done. That's a invaluable noun to know. If you are in Japan or coming to Japan in the next few weeks, be sure to know toiletto paper.
I would be mortified if I had to ask anyone for toiletto paper. I need to wipe my bum bum.
It's quite a difficult one because you've got to elongate the pear and pa. So toiletto paper.
Paper.
Toiletto paper. It's tough. Toiletto I always paper. Find that a little bit difficult. There you go.
Sounds sexy.
And, of course, I think you're the first person to find toilet paper in Japanese sexy.
Yeah.
And the last. The other word is website, given we've just launched the website.
Mm.
What is website? And it's, again, another Guy Rigo, another foreign borrowed word.
It'll be website or then. website.
I remember when I first learned about foreign borrowed words, when I first learned about Guy Rigo, I did just think someone was taking the piss.
Oh, it sounds so racist, doesn't it?
It does a little bit, yeah.
You just gotta go with how people speak. That's the problem. You just gotta go
and
with
that's
how people
what they
speak.
Say. They yeah. say they say website.
Mm.
Website. Yeah, website, basically, website. The main thing is to remember it's a ue sound rather than a W because they don't have that. So, website.
Mm.
There you go, toilet paper and website. The two keywords this week, put that in your vocabulary folder, Mr. Donaldson. I will be testing you in the near future.
Okie dokie.
And we take one step closer each week to Pete Donaldson becoming a fluent master of Japanese.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah,
you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously,
mate. Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And then we're way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Anna Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster, Annette Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? Mine's pretty low after coming back from the craziness of WrestleMania, too many body slams and all that. And I'm pretty jealous of my co-host Chris, who seems to have been exploring Japan's most isolated hotel. He's definitely winning in the relaxation race, but I'm determined to catch up with him. It can be easy to get swept up in social gatherings and spread ourselves too thin, but with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/Japan today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Japan.
Now, let's turn our attention to the fax machine. What we got, Pete?
Hang on, my computer's been a bit slow. Here we go. Here's one, Dana. Dana International. Didn't Dana enter Eurovision? Doesn't matter. Hello, I've got a question for the podcast. Perhaps you can help me shed some light on this mystery. As someone who is generally interested in Japanese life and culture, I've occasionally watched NHK TV for English language programs about Japan. However, I can often only manage a few minutes at a time because of the ridiculous sounding English voiceovers. I love NHK's production style. It is ridiculous. Some shows, particularly the less newsy and more fun lifestyle ones, feature an absolutely ridiculous voiceover with someone speaking in an incredibly animated way as they're maniacally grinning from ear to ear while describing the fantastic bento-making skills of some kindly housewife. I'm sure you know what I'm talking about. Literally nobody talks like this, and it just makes me wonder, do Japanese people think that English-speaking people genuinely talk like this? Or is it that Japanese voiceovers are also done in this sort of super animated way, so they just applied the same approach to the English ones? Please help me understand. Thanks, Dana, in London, of the UK.
God, NHK. I mean, have I talked about my experience with NHK World? I think I might have touched on it before.
Maybe.
I did a TV show to promote some local dishes in Yamagata, and it was such a bad experience. The people were nice, they meant well, but they weren't making a programme that was particularly good, and
no.
The finished product was not. I just couldn't watch it. Basically, I had to present this this dish, this edamame. So edamame, of course, is a Japanese... Christ, what is it? I don't even know what it is in English. I just call it edamame. Everyone knows edamame is beans,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, beans. Beans.
Yeah. And in Yamagata, where I lived, there was a variety of edamame called dadachamame. And I had to basically tell people what the difference was. The problem was, there was fuck all difference. There was no differences. Imagine that. It'd be like having two pieces of blue paper and then having to describe the differences on national television and then being both the exact same shade of blue. So I was like, oh, it's just so different and good and juicy. Oh, yeah. And like the producer would be like, no, more feeling. And I'd be like, oh, it's just the juiciest, most amazing food I've ever put in my mouth. And the woman who's harvesting the dadachamame from the farm is standing there wondering why this foreign guy is just in her farm eating her beans. It's ridiculous. But the icing on the fucking cake was the voiceover that Dana pointed out.
Yeah.
It's
excruciating,
what's
isn't
going
it?
On?
They sort of talk
so
a little bit like this. Chris is enjoying the edamame beans of Hokkaido Prefecture. It's so weird.
It was like that. It was. There was an American guy who... I mean, I don't know if they were American. They might have been a Japanese person who learned American fluently. But it didn't really... It sounded like aliens coming down and imitating an American accent. It was like, Chris loves the taste of dadachamame. He's eating it in a field. And it was just like, ah, oh, why are you so enthusiastic about something that's so dull? And there's like a shot of me just wandering through a forest. And it's like, Chris is wandering through the forest. He is really enjoying himself and having an incredible time. And I'm just like looking really depressed and wondering what I'm doing.
If you ever
there was
saw
one point,
the video, the TV show Red Dwarf in the UK, everyone talks like Crichton.
a sort of
transatlantic kind of voice. Soft, inoffensive, but incredibly enthusiastic.
Like a crap infomercial. I remember though the editing was really dodgy. Like the editing had been done by a Japanese native Japanese person who didn't know English and like had butchered the sentences. Like there was this line of me I had to explain why I like something. I think I had to climb up to a temple, up some stairs, and I had to eat like a tree because the temple, they only ate food from the mountain, from this forest. And I had to like eat a leaf and be like, oh, this leaf's good. Again, lying, of course. And like, I remember going, like chewing on the leaf or something and being like, oh, this leaf has an interesting flavour because, and then they just cut it there. Mid-sentence at because, and I was like nearly threw the remote control at the television screen.
Maybe they cut you off.
I vowed never to do NHK again.
Maybe they cut you off because they didn't want you to. They didn't ask you to eat a leaf. You just became a human giraffe and just started eating it. They just got a bit confused from what they wanted and just Chris is starting to eat a leaf. Cut away from him. He's gone mental.
What is he doing? That's not in the script.
Who eats leaves?
But, I cannot watch NHK. A good friend of mine works on NHK World for Cool Japan, which, of course, you can't call something cool. It just does it. It's like has the opposite effect, right? If I go, well, I'm Cool Chris. Like if I called Abroad in Japan Chris, Cool Chris in Japan,
yeah.
Inherently, by referring to myself as cool, I am not cool. And it's awful. And there's probably people listening to this that might work at NHK and I've just killed my chances of being the new face of NHK. But you know what? I have no regrets. And now let's turn to the next facts from Lauren. Lauren says, hi, Chris and Pete. Hope you're both having a great 2020 so far. I'm a high school English teacher in Southern California. And while I think my chance to teach English in Japan is far behind me, I still love visiting. The Abroad Japan podcast and YouTube channel have been instrumental in helping me plan trips. Currently on our fourth trip for the next year, my email today is about getting free stuff in Japan. Yes, free stuff.
Ooh.
I'm excited. We just got back in early January from visiting. It was my second time visiting Nishiki Market in Kyoto, and the second time I got extra jumbo shrimp on a skewer from the same stall. Maybe they just like tourists, maybe it was a nice surprise. A lady at a spice shop in Gion, the district where the geisha live or work, made sure to give me the newest, shiniest 5-yen coin for good luck, saying it was bright, like my smile. I almost started crying, no joke.
Aww.
To top off the trip, my husband and I stayed in Hakone, the hot spring resort, just outside of Tokyo for a few days, to watch the Hakone Ekiden, which we saw on the news on our first trip and became fans after watching the anime Run With The Wind. I swear we were the only white people who showed up in Hakone specifically for the Ekiden. We bought some lunch at a skewer stall, and I think the owner heard me talking about how good the chicken meatball skewers were. Next thing I know, she walks up to me with a huge smile on her face and gives me another skewer for free. I've never met someone who wasn't kind while I'm in Japan. Thanks for all you two do. Lauren from Laguna Hills. And that's nice. Bloody hell, Lauren, you're so lucky.
I don't
think I've ever had that much free stuff. I think you must just have a really nice smile.
Yeah, Lauren sounds stunningly attractive. I don't know what's going on there, because I don't get free stuff. Chris, do you get much free stuff? You're just enchanting, Lauren. You're just enchanting.
All I've ever got, cherries. I've got some free cherries, and that's
some free
about
cherries.
It. Yeah, but
fantastic.
On the subject of Nishiki Market and Gion and Kyoto, because of the coronavirus and because of the massive drop in tourists to the point that like Kyoto, Osaka and Tokyo are very quiet at the moment, I'm actually thinking of going to Kyoto for the first time of my own volition in years, just for a bit of fun and to do some photography. And I am going to go to Nishiki Market in Gion and just smile at everyone and wait for my free skewers and wait for my free money.
Give me my free chicken. It wasn't free money, it was changed, wasn't it? Oh, maybe, I don't know. It was only 5 yen.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah, good point.
Are those brown? No, they're the little kind of silver ones with the hole in, aren't they? That's exciting. That's one thing that's quite exciting about Japan. A lot of their coins have holes in them. That's something you can, I don't know, put on a necklace if you're weird.
You can, yeah. Well, now we know, next time you're over, now we know what to do.
Yeah.
Money necklace.
Money necklace.
Coin necklace. Make it happen. Got one from Lillian. I'll hand that over to you.
All right, Lillian. Final email of the day. Dear Chris and Pete, your podcast has helped me to get through my exams at university and now through writing my thesis. When I feel like procrastinating, I always tune in, listen to your angelic voices, forget about everything which is stressing me out, and dream about visiting Japan. Actually, your podcast has inspired me to take Japanese classes and realise my dream to go to Japan next Sunday. No, not Sunday, summer. Well, I don't know why I said Sunday. I'm planning a two-month long trip. First, I will go to Fukuoka. good news, visit a language school and stay at a Japanese host family. Then I'll travel from Fukuoka to Tokyo by train with many stops in between. Since I'm going all by myself, I have some questions concerning solo female travelling in Japan. How are solo travellers perceived in Japan? Although Japan is considered a safe country, I still worry whether there might be still be some locations you should better not visit alone as a female. And I know I should carry cash at all times, but how safe is it to always have so much money with you? P.S. Pizza Shibuya cracks me up every time I hear it. Yeah, I've got a few messages about the Shibuya. Maybe we should do the whole Yamanote line.
I get so many messages about your, like, the podcast where you did all the train station names and did the voiceovers. People love that. And I know what I'm going to do on the new soundboard on the website. I'm going to get you on there.
Get a little interactive. Train stations. Get a little interactive map of the Tokyo metro system. And I'll just do. And then
that'll
we'll
be amazing.
And then we'll move on to Osaka. Number! That's the only one I know.
What about Shinsaibashi?
Shinsaibashi!
Brilliant.
Shiodome. Shiodome. I'm off. I'm off and flying, guys. Akihabara. Ueno.
Bloody hell.
Back to the email.
Yeah, that'd be quite fun. We should do like as a like a game on the website.
The screaming Japanese just, like, metro.
Yeah, just play like the Yamanote line where you get to listen to Pete Dolson. Yeah. Annoying
and the voice. And the JR system will notice my incredible voice talent and get me on the trains. Yeah.
We can only dream of such a thing. Good questions. Many questions.
Many questions.
Solo female travellers. I think they're perceived well.
Yeah.
We've read out a few podcast stories, haven't we, from listeners who travelled Japan and got loads of free stuff at being a girl as a solo traveller. So I think it's perceived well. I don't think there's any level of suspicion. Why would there be? So
spy.
Yeah, I think solo traveling's cool as well. Like, you've done it a lot, Pete.
Yeah, I did.
Not female, but you've done it.
No, I've done a couple of trips to Japan where I've just sort of rolled around myself. And the good thing, the difference between England and if you travel around the US, for example, or Japan, if you go to a bar, if you go to a restaurant, you can just sit at the bar and just eat food and drink and be merry at the bar rather than having to inhabit like a big table, which I find quite good. So if you're worried about that aspect of things, feeling a bit lonely, if you're at the bar, you're fine. Have a little conversation with the person behind the bar. Love your job.
Yeah, it's quite common. That's actually, I'd say that's more common in Japan than certainly in the UK, that people do go out on their own. They do go and just sit at the bar, drink and enjoy themselves. And there's that culture that's accepted to be alone at bars and restaurants. So that's good. The second question was, although Japan's considered a safe country, I still worry if there might be some locations you should not visit alone as a female. I can't think of anything other than Kabukicho. We talked about that last week, I think. So I won't cover it again, but I think, just watch out in Kabukicho and Roppongi. But other than that, you're fine. And the last question was about cash. Yeah, it's safe to have money with you at all times. I think literally everyone in Japan carries about 5 man on them at all times, which is about $500, just because it is still, even now, a cash-based society, and you do need that kind of money on your person to get around. So, don't worry about it. It is safe. Obviously, just be vigilant at all times. Yeah. But other than that, have a great time. Have an awesome time. And I hope the whole coronavirus thing doesn't stand in your way. But for now, guys, keep the comments, questions, stories coming in to abroadinjapanpodcast@gmail.com. We'll be back next week to do it all over again. But for now, no matter where you might be out there in the big wide world, have yourself a great week, and we'll see you next Wednesday.
Bye-bye.
Wahey.
This was a Stakhanov production.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad was thinking of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And then we're way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.